Thank you, Brother Al and Brother Mark, for the prayer. Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
I always love to hear that come back in the morning. Don and I can't tell you what a privilege it is for us to be here with you this weekend. And what a blessing it is to see your warm, loving faces. It's been too long since we've been together with brethren. We haven't been to a convention since General, so it's been not cloudy like Seattle. It's bright and sunny in Boise, but it's a little cooler. And we do appreciate this special time of fellowship, and thanks to Sacramento class for making it available to us. We do bring you the Christian loving greetings, of course, from the Boise class, both the Sunday and the Wednesday night class, voted to send their Christian love and greetings to each and every one of you. Also have greetings from Donna's Aunt Dorothy DeFord in Canton, Illinois. Her daughter, who's Donna's cousin, Betty Biggs, I think you know, in Dallas. And Sister Mary Beth Swigart, she won from Salt Lake City. She wanted so bad to come. In fact, she had her ticket and everything, but because of some health reasons, she couldn't come. So she sent her Christian loving greetings to you. And we had a special greetings to the Sacramento Convention from Sister Janet Koski and Brother Gary Johnson, and a birthday card to Donna. They wanted their love given to the convention here. They have special memories, of course, of Sacramento. And Sid and Joan Jones from Selkirk also wanted their Christian loving greetings. Back here on the table, you'll notice there's a pretty gray program for a convention in April. April 28th through the 30th at Boise, and we'd love to have all of you come if you can. I'm sure that there'll be a blessing for each of us there. I'm glad to have the speaker fixed, and I made the offer to Byron that he could come and do his over so you could hear it. But I couldn't get out of it, so he said to go this way. I know if you remember last year, we prepared a study on Peter, which we shared with you. It was a study that was very interesting to us and gave us a better understanding, gave us a better appreciation of the faithful service of all the apostles and the ancient worthies. All of their energy was devoted to spreading the gospel message. That parable in Luke 7:41 that speaks of the creditors and debtors, it tells of the gratitude we need to develop as we perceive our helplessness at the throne of justice. How can we help and give thanks for Paul, for Timothy, for Titus, and all the rest for their example to us? And as such, we received encouragement, using them as examples of the way that we should walk. Now today's study on Timothy and Titus, I think, will show you also the deep love that the Apostle Paul had for his fellow servants. And all of them are wonderful examples of giving our all. Of giving our all with our hearts filled with love and zeal for service to our Heavenly Father. Now, Brother Ken's remark last night, I thought, were very fitting. And he talked about, why are we still here? I think we're here to carry on the work that was started by Timothy and Titus way back then. Now we know that the Apostle Paul wrote many letters to the various churches, and you know there's the Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, and you know them all. And they were written to the churches, we know, because like in Galatians, he addresses it to all the brethren which are with me in the church, unto the churches of Galatia. And in Ephesians, he addressed it to the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus. It was Paul's custom to associate with his name that of one or more of his companions that might be with him at the time. Timothy's name occurs in 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And it's also found along with that of Silvanus in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. All of these indicating that Timothy was with him when these letters were written. One of the examples is in Philippians 1:1. This is a Revised Standard Version, and it reads, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. And then that faithful servant Paul always added to his greeting his encouragement. We're going to use an example of Galatians 1:3-5. Galatians 1:3-5. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. The openings of Paul's letters to Timothy and Titus really show the difference and the personal touch that he had for these two. Now we realize that only three of Paul's letters were written to individuals, which were Timothy and Titus and also Philemon. To Philemon, his greeting is to our beloved fellow worker. Our beloved fellow worker. Again, in this opening, he includes Timothy as his brother. We're going to look at Romans 1, verse 4 to 7 from the Revised Standard Version. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, and to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker. And then to verse 4. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may promote the knowledge of all the good that is ours in Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Philemon, Paul's fellow worker. There's a lesson for the church today in these scriptures. Paul had this great love. He had this great faith. He had this joy. And he had the comfort in Philemon, his partner. He was very confident of his obedience. And just as we have in our fellow workers, our brethren, our partners in the work of spreading the gospel, that good news, to all that will have a listening ear. And we too have love for our brethren. We have faith in the brethren. We share the faith. We share the knowledge that is gleaned from class and personal studies. We take joy. We take comfort in and with our brethren. And we are confident of their obedience. Every member of the body of Christ has these feelings. So we do thank God for our brethren, for our fellow workers, and always remember them in our thoughts and prayers on a daily basis. Back to Paul's letters to Timothy and Titus. To me, there is something very tender and special about these relationships. There's something special about the opening of these letters. We're going to look at them a little more carefully. Paul's salutation in his letters always opens with him identifying himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment or will of God. Then the special greetings to Timothy and Titus, which are recorded in the first chapters of these books, these letters. In the first letter to Timothy, verse 2, it reads, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith." The second letter to Timothy, verse 2. "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace." Timothy, my dearly beloved son. And in Paul's letter to Titus, verse 4. "To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior." Now, different versions in these three letters use the terms such as true son, true child, beloved son. Doesn't that thrill you? My beloved son, my true son. Such great love that Paul thought of, and he loved them as his sons. In addition to loving them as sons, he must have had great trust, he must have had great confidence, he must have had great faith in their love for himself and for the Lord. He had confidence in their ability to serve their Heavenly Father. It also speaks of Paul remembering them in his prayers, how often? Constantly. It speaks of Paul remembering their tears. It speaks of Paul longing day and night that he may see them and be filled with joy. Most of us can remember one, two, or even more of the dear ones who taught us, who guided us in our early days in the truth. Brother Ken mentioned a lot of them last night. We looked to them with confidence, knowing that they were established in the truth, knowing they cared for us in the same way that Paul cared for Timothy and Silas and Titus, knowing that they longed for our growth and our success and our walk. And some of us may know younger brethren with whom we have been privileged to study, to fellowship with, to guide in a narrow but wonderful way. If so, we can be more appreciative of Paul's love for these dear ones. These ties are closer than earthly ties because of the sharing of the innermost feelings of loyalty and love. These thoughts should fill our hearts with joy and thanksgiving that we are too called sons of God, that our Heavenly Father is with us constantly, and He longs for us to be fellow heirs of all that He has with His only begotten Son. Don't these thoughts remind you of the brethren, of our relationship with them? Don't we have great love and trust and confidence in their love for the Lord and their ability to serve God? And don't we pray for them? Don't we long to be with them like at conventions? I know that longing's been in my heart since last general. And we are encouraged by each other at meetings and conventions, by phone, by letter, and now the new media of email. We long with tears of joy to be with them. Where? Forever in our permanent home with our head, Christ Jesus. We look with confidence and trust in the promises of God's Word for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That promised kingdom which we pray for daily. Jude 24 and 25. To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. There's also another important part of Paul's greetings to Timothy and Titus. In 1 Timothy, Paul refers to Timothy not only as his son, but as his son in the faith. In Titus, Paul refers to Titus not only as his true son, but as his true son in a common faith. The word common in this context has the meaning of literally to be shared by all or to be shared by several. That describes the faith that the church has. The faith shared by all of those consecrated sons of God. Those that have made a covenant of sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. Sons of God in the faith shared by all the brotherhood. Now, who is Timothy and how did he come to travel and serve with Paul? How and why did he become so close to, so respected, so faithful, so loved by Paul? Now, Paul was probably a widower, for one of the qualifications for membership of the Sanhedrin was considered to be an essential that the candidate should have been married. And there's no reference in the Bible to Paul having a wife. We can only infer that if he were married, his wife must have died before his conversion on the road to Damascus. These tones of almost yearning affection in which he refers to Timothy and Titus as sons might possibly refer to a disappointment that he may have had in the lack of having any sons of his own. There are many lessons to learn from the life of Timothy, his faith, his devotion to service, his loyalty, his character, yes, even his human weaknesses, such as a fear of not being faithful, and maybe his youthfulness, that he was young in the truth. Now, Timothy first appears in Paul's second journey when Paul visited Lystra. That's recorded in Acts 16, verses 1 to 3. Acts 16, 1 to 3, and this is a Revised Standard Version. And he came also to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren at Lystra and Iconium. But Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those places, for all they knew that his father was a Greek. And in 1 Timothy 1:5, his mother is identified as Eunice and his grandmother as Lois, who both had that same sincere faith that Paul saw in Timothy. The apostle refers to him as his beloved and faithful son of the Lord in 1 Corinthians 4:17. His beloved and faithful son in the Lord. We see that Timothy was in high regard and that Paul desired to take him along as a traveling companion. Wouldn't it be a wonderful feeling to be faithful, such faithful servants, that Paul would consider taking us with him to spread the gospel? Timothy was always like an ambassador for Paul. He was often sent on missions that Paul was unable to go for himself. And because of this, Timothy became well known to the Christian congregations all throughout Asia and Greece. Luke was a constant companion of Paul's, but Timothy was usually away in some distant places, carrying out some special assignment. He became the trusted right-hand man whom Paul could send anywhere, because Paul knew that whatever Timothy was commissioned to do, it would be done well, and it would be carried out. Now, an ambassador, you know, is someone that acts as a representative. Our ambassadors overseas, whatever they see in the ambassadors, they think of as the United States. And just so our actions, our words, and our deeds as sons of God reflects to others not only who we are, but who we represent. And isn't our goal to be good representatives of God and of His Son, to bring that honor and glory to our Heavenly Father? We know that as new creatures in Christ, we are ambassadors for Christ. It tells us that in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We beseech you then, on behalf of Christ, to be reconciled to God. When Paul was forced to leave Berea, Silas and Timothy were left behind to strengthen the work in Macedonia. And that's in Acts 17:14. Later they rejoined Paul in Athens, and Paul sent Timothy back to the believers to establish them and encourage them to maintain the faith that he had left with him. Timothy's report of the faith and love of the Thessalonians greatly encouraged Paul. And that's recorded in 1 Thessalonians 3, 1-7. 1 Thessalonians 3, 1-7. We're going to read parts of verse 1-7 from the Living Bible. Finally, when I could stand it no longer, I decided to stay alone in Athens and send Timothy, our brother and fellow worker, God's minister, to visit you, to strengthen your faith, to encourage you, to keep you from being faint-hearted in all the troubles you are going through. As I was saying, when I could bear the suspense no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. And now Timothy has returned and brings the welcome news that your faith and love are as strong as ever, that you remember our visit with joy, and want to see us just as much as we want to see you. And as we visit the brethren, as we go to conventions, wouldn't we like for the brethren to go back and say they were glad to see us? Timothy seemed to go along with Paul on his third journey. But when he was traveling with Paul at Ephesus, he had to send Timothy to resolve some difficulties at the Corinthian church. This is one time that Timothy didn't have as much success as usual. That seems to be because of his timidity and his youth. So as we'll hear later, he sent the more forceful Titus, who seemed to be able to calm the situation. Timothy also appears as a companion to Paul during his imprisonment in Rome. And from Rome, Paul sent him to Philippi to bring back words of the church. A church that the apostle had worked with so faithfully over all the years. Isn't this an example to the church now to support the brethren that are going forth spreading the good news of the gospel? Support the brethren that are supporting the good news. Timothy's strong traits seem to be his sensitivity, his affection, and his loyalty. And Paul commends him to the Philippians in Philippians 19-24. And we're going to read a couple, three verses. Verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I may be cheered by news of you. Verse 20. I have no one like him who is genuinely anxious for your welfare. And then verse 20. But Timothy's worth you know how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. Lessons again for the church. We too are anxious for the welfare of the brethren, those fellow members of the body of Christ. We too look not only our own interest, but upon the interest of the brethren and of God and his Son. When Paul was imprisoned the second time and he felt his death was near, he summoned Timothy to his side. And this is recorded in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy. But we are not told if he reached Paul in time. But Paul's request, I think, shows the great love for his faithful companion. And from our study, we are left with a picture of a quiet, a faithful, and industrious young man. He was fully dedicated to Jesus Christ. He was fully prepared to express that dedication in a life of service. He was willing to go anywhere, to do anything, in the interest of the work to which the Apostle Paul and Timothy were dedicated. He was fully dedicated. He was fully prepared. He was willing to go anywhere. An example, a lesson to us. Regarding Titus, which has the meaning of pleasant, as we read in Titus 1:4, Paul spoke to him as my own son in the common faith. And he was described as a partner and a fellow worker of Paul in 2 Corinthians 8:23. And we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 8:23 and 24. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker in your service. And as for our brethren, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So give proof before the churches of your love and of your boasting about you to these men. In that eighth chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul is commending the Corinthians for their giving, even in the result of severe test. They had much affliction and extreme poverty. But their giving with joy of their own free will above and beyond their means and what was expected of them. Such a commitment, such a willing heart, such zeal, such love for the saints. And Paul continues in the sixth verse of chapter 8. Accordingly, we have urged Titus that his he has already made a beginning, he should also complete among you this gracious work. Now as you excel in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, in all earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you excel in this gracious work also. Now Titus is first mentioned in Galatians chapter 2. That's verses 1 to 5. Galatians 2, verses 1 to 5. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. There's a few thoughts that I'd like to bring to you from Brother Russell's thoughts on circumcision and that of the truth. And that's in reprint 1526. Reprint 1526. I'm only going to read part of it. And I quote, "Paul saying to you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Yet he caused Timothy to be circumcised," as we read in Acts 16:3. Now we might be asked, was he teaching falsely and in contradiction to this testimony? No, because Timothy was a Jew because of his mother. Circumcision was a custom amongst the Jews which began before the law of Moses. And Paul's argument in Galatians 5:2 was not addressed to the Jews, it was addressed to the Gentiles. The only reason the Gentiles desired or even thought about circumcision was that certain false teachers were confusing them. They were telling them that they must keep the law covenant as well as accepting Christ. That Paul found no objection to Jews continuing this national custom is evident from his course with Timothy. Not that it was necessary for Timothy or any other Jew, but that it was not improper and that he would have an advantage in giving him the confidence of the Jews. We see Paul's steadfast resistance on this subject when some misconceived the matter and sought to have Titus circumcised, a full-blooded Greek. Unquote. When Paul was in Ephesus on his third journey, he received some disturbing news from the church at Corinth. And after two letters and paying a visit, he sent a letter with Titus. And this is in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 7, verses 6 and 7. "Nevertheless, God that comforteth thee that are cast down, comforted us," how? "By the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by his consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your fervent mind toward me, so I rejoiced all the more." Now, Paul didn't hear from Titus before he left Ephesus, but later he met him in Macedonia, and Titus had the good news that the church at Corinth had been repented. But Paul was very rejoiced and very overjoyed. So we have to assume that Titus completed another mission. Titus appears in another important role on the island of Crete, as in Titus 1:4. They were beset by false teaching and declining morality. But Paul told him to strengthen the churches, how? By teaching sound doctrine and good works, and to appoint elders in every city. As we said earlier, Titus was a man of tough tasks. According to Paul in 2 Corinthians, Titus was dependable, as chapter 8, verse 17. He was reliable, chapter 7, verse 6. He was diligent, chapter 8, verse 17. He had a great capacity for human affection, chapter 7, verse 13 to 15. So Titus was dependable, he was reliable, he was diligent, and had a great capacity for human affection. Another example to the church. Possessing both strength and tact, Timus calmed a desperate situation on more than one occasion. He is a good model for those who are called to live out their witness under trying circumstances. Like Timothy and Titus, they were both faithful, trusted co-workers. Both are examples to the church during this gospel age. Paul counted them as sons, and surely they are sons of God. We cannot have Paul as our spiritual father, but we can be faithful, trusted co-workers with him. we are sons of God. We are ambassadors of His Son. What a privilege and what a responsibility that is to us. I received a February Dawn, and one of the articles they had as a text scripture, the one that I was going to close with. And the title of the article was The Christian Charge. And the text scripture there was 2 Timothy 4, 1, 2, and 5, which happens to be the same one that I had. So I'm not stealing it from you, Brother Post. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1, 2, and 5. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, making full proof of thy ministry. And that article ends with this little paragraph. The charge given to Timothy applies to all of us. Paul, as God's and Christ's spokesman, is exhorting us to be faithful in carrying out our consecration vows. May we do so faithfully as Timothy did, not only in his assistance to Paul, but to the early church in general. So we may be faithful and offer our assistance to the church during this gospel age, using Timothy and Titus as our examples. And may the Lord help us as we continue in the way. And may He add His blessing, these words, and forgive anything that was said amiss. May the Lord bless you.
We want to thank Brother Allers for giving us an enlightening lesson on Timothy and Titus. I'm sure that there was a lot of refreshment in the lesson that he brought, as well as a lot of new information that we never understood before. We would like to remind you once again, those who desire to sing in the chorus, to meet over at the piano at the conclusion of this session. Also, I think we owe an apology to some, but for some reason, some did not get the information that the ones who are staying at this hotel, there is a complimentary breakfast, a buffet breakfast that goes with the room. So remember that tomorrow morning, that there is a complimentary breakfast for all who are staying here. I understand it's quite good. Also, those who were not here last night, the buffet is in the back of the room, and that will follow immediately. But we're going to have to disrupt the seating of some. You know, for 10 or 11 years anyway, we met here, and we had to do the same thing. And we thought that the new seating arrangement might have corrected that. But I think it's about the last, over on this side, about the last three rows, the chairs are going to have to be moved, but the one sitting there won't have to do anything about the moving, but you will have to take any books or anything that are there and remove those, because we're going to have to set up some three more tables, as I understand it. So it's going to be an inconvenience for some, and we offer our apology for that. But that's the fact. So, but anyway, let us close now. Brother Allers has requested hymn number 91, and we'll ask him to offer a blessing upon the noon meal. So, hymn number 91.
Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy precious name. Dear Father, as a group of thy children now, we desire to approach thy throne of grace to offer you all of our praise and thanksgiving, and for thy love and thy tender mercy towards us. And dear Father, as we sang in those hymns that we asked in your wisdom, that you may guide us to all truth and understanding. We do thank you for the grace, by your grace, that we receive that Holy Spirit, which enables us to understand some of thy precious words that are in thy precious words. And dear Father, we ask you to forgive us for anything that was said amiss, and forgive us for our many, many shortcomings, but that you would continue to guide us and direct us in all of our thoughts, all of our actions, all of our words, and all of our deeds, that we may be faithful servants of you, as Timothy and Titus were of Paul, and that we may show the great love that Paul shone upon them and all the churches, that we may show it to our brethren and continue to walk in that narrow but wonderful path. Now we would ask a blessing among the temporal provisions that have been provided for us, that they may be used to strengthen us to serve thee better. And we do ask your continued interest in the balance of this convention, and you bless those that will be served, bless our fellowship together. And dear Father, we always pray for thy will to be done in our lives as we wait upon thee and thy promised kingdom, and we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.